Greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus. It's such a blessing for me to come and minister to you and just teach you the basics on why God has made man and just explain the purpose of mankind and what God has dreamt for us from before time. Now, the first scripture we're going to look at is found in Ephesians 2 verse 6. Ephesians 2 verse 6, and let us just read that together. It says, "And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, that's very important to keep that in mind. It talks about the resurrection and the conquering of death. "That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." Very important point there, talking about the future, talking about why God made us. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." Well, that word saved, we need to see the context of this passage. Not talking about going to heaven or something like that. It's talking about being saved from death. And then Ephesians 2:9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his creation," or his workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." You can see I've got those arrows there pointing to the good works that he has prepared and before ordained in verse 6. It says there in verse 6, "together in heavenly places in Christ." Why? "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." So what we see in this passage is absolutely beautiful. We see that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And when he was raised from the dead, we were co-raised with him from the dead. And he planned a good work from before time. And this good work that he planned before time with us had everything to do with the resurrection and what he wanted to show forth in us and bring forth in us free from our works. What we can conclude from this passage is that God has created us and made us for the purpose of showing forth his grace and his power in us in the ages to come. So God had a good work that he wanted to do towards man. He had a good work that he planned from the beginning. There was a good work in the heart of God that he was looking at from the beginning. And that good work that he planned from the beginning was to give man eternal life. Now I'm just going to give you just a little bit of a hint on one of the topics we're going to talk about. You know, when we look at the earth, and the earth was without form and void, there's a reason why the earth was without form and void. God didn't create it without created void. The Bible clearly says in Isaiah that God did not create the earth void, but habitable. But the earth became void, and God wanted to come, and he wanted to show who he really is in recreating and in making everything new in Christ Jesus. That was his plan. So he came and planted a garden and all those kind of things, not for the purpose of man working for God, not at all. But his purpose was to express all of his goodness and his kindness in man and declare the riches of his divine influence upon man for all to see and all to experience, for all the angels to experience, and for every living being, every created being, that they could see the fullness of God. Let me just summarize this passage in Ephesians. It says here that he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come, that's a very important part there, that in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. So he raised Jesus from the dead so that he could show his kindness to us. He raised Christ from the dead so that he could show his kindness to us. So what kind of a kindness can be showed to us on account of the resurrection of Jesus? The only kindness that can be showed towards us on account of the resurrection of Jesus is our immortality, wherein we shall be raised from the dead and we shall be co-immortal with God on account of his eternal life. and so shall we be with God forever. Now, it goes on there, it says, for by grace are you saved. You know, we've misunderstood salvation, and one of the sessions we're going to talk on salvation as well, but he says, for grace are you saved through faith. What is this salvation he's talking about? He doesn't say, for by grace you'll be going to heaven. He says, for by grace are you saved. The context here is the resurrection and how Christ conquered death and how Jesus will never die and has gone to the point where it is impossible for him to die. He's entered eternal life. He's eaten of the tree of life on behalf of all of us. When he ate of this tree, he came and he secured a place for us in eternal life, and so we shall be saved from death. That is what it is, and we will become immortal. Guys, we need to understand that the reason why God has made us has never been to take us to heaven. It has never been the will of God to take people to heaven. And I want to make this clear. I'm not saying that nobody will go to heaven. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that has never been God's plan. It's never been God's number one vision for man. It is what I would call an interim period, which we will still talk about and what that is and how that works. But that is not God's dream for man. God has made the earth for man to dwell upon the earth. So if we look at why did God make us, according to this passage, it's very simple. God made us so that he could come and give us eternal life and immortality, and so show forth the grace that there is in Jesus and walk in friendship and in love with us. And also says that this salvation from death is not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. So we have been ordained to walk in the good work that God beforehand has prepared. Now, what is the good work that God beforehand prepared? It is our immortality. It is the good work wherein he will bring forth a good work, which is to take corruptible dust or that which was destroyed and recreate and make new and bring forth life from it and show mercy and show his mercy in that way and bring forth life. That is what he wants to show. He is a life giver and he wants to bring that forth. And so that is one of the points. Let me summarize this, this verse again. God came and he has raised Jesus from the dead so that he can bring forth resurrection to us. So, and that would be the good work that he wants us to walk in, is this eternal life and this resurrection. That is the good work, and that is the reason why he has made us. He has made us so that we can, so that we in the ages to come might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness through Christ Jesus. So he's made us so that we can share in eternal life. The next passage we're going to look at is Revelation 4 verses 11. Revelation 4 verses 11, it says, you art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. So it says there that we have been created for his pleasure. The word pleasure there, according to Thayer, means what one wishes or has determined shall be done of the purpose of God to bless mankind through Christ, of God wishes to be done by us, by commands and precepts, will, choice, inclination, desire, or pleasure. So, what this passage actually says is, it's clear, it says there that he has made us for his pleasure. He has made everything for his pleasure. Now, what is his pleasure? His pleasure is that which he wished or determined to be done. And then it even says there in one of the passages, you might say, "Bad, that sounds so bad," but it, verse 1b says there, of what God wishes to be done by us. So He has come and He has made us for a certain purpose, and He had a vision and a dream, and He has created us for that vision and for that dream. And a part of that vision and dream has been declared as to create people in His image and also in His likeness, where there can be a being that has got a mind, will, emotions, he can think, he can reason, he is alive, and then he would be like God, which is to be eternal and immortal, and that God in such a way can show His kindness and His mercy and who He really is by creating such a being. So God has created us for His purpose. We have thought that the purpose of God was to just have a gardener. No, God hasn't created us for the purpose of working in a garden. God has created us for the purpose of revealing Himself and showing Himself by being good to us. So we will receive goodness, and the goodness that we will receive will show forth who God really is. God actually just wanted to come and make Himself visible. That is what He wanted to do. He wanted to come and make Himself visible. Let us just read what this promise was that God had, this good thing that He had from before time. I'm going to read that in Titus 1 verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So what he says here is that he has promised eternal life before the world began. We can connect this clearly to Ephesians, where he says that which he has determined before time, which he has predetermined. There was a good work that he predetermined that we should walk in that. Now what is this good work? It's the good work. It's not good works, a list of good works that we must do. He predetermined a good work which He will do, that we shall walk in that good work. It would be like me saying, I'm going to do a good work. I'm going to build an orphanage and supply it with food and everything those kids need so that orphans can come and have life. So I would have a good work so that someone can walk in this good work. That is what he's meaning. And he's talking about eternal life. He's talking about immortality. That is what he's talking about. So he has made man to be an immortal being, to be like him, to be in his image, and to be like him. That is what he has come to do in the hope of eternal life. So we need to understand that God is a good God and He's a loving God, and He had a dream. The dream that He had was to have people that are just like Him, and His goodness would be expressed in, by Christ Jesus, bring forth people from dead dust and give them eternal life so that we can walk in that good work. And that would be by Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that God has planned from before time that by Christ Jesus we would have this eternal life. So it could never be by our works. It has always been His plan that He brings this forth in us. Because it will just defeat the object if we by our own works bring forth that life, because it will not express the goodness of God but our own ability. And since we come from dust, we don't have the ability to generate eternal life. It is just it's just impossible for us to generate that. So God's plan was, from before time, what His plan was, to by Jesus Christ give us eternal life. And I'm going to hammer this, and I want you to know this, and the reason why I will put pressure on this is because of the wrong teaching we've received, robbing us from the power of God. God has not made us for the purpose of going and staying in heaven forever. It's not His plan. His plan was for us to live on a habitable world and to bring life forth from this death, and so bless us. Amen. Right, the next point I want to look at is just God as a person. Who is God? and what is, how does he function? Who is he as a person? How does he relate to us? And we're going to look at God as a person, who he is, just four basic passages, and see who he is so that we can know why he would do things. In the first passage I wanted to go and look at is in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. It says there are 4 points. The first one is God comes and he declares himself as a family-orientated being. And that is revealed in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13, where it's the Lord's Prayer, where he says, this is how I want you to pray. I want you to pray, Our Father. And he comes and he reveals himself as a father. A father is one who will actuate and bring forth life into people that looks like him, or bring people like him forth. He will duplicate himself. He's the father, the one from where life originates. He comes also and he calls, through Jesus, he calls us his friends. Jesus is his son and we are the friends of the son. You can see there, relationship. He's a family, relational, orientated being. He also calls us the bride of Christ in Ephesians 6. He also calls us I think that must be Ephesians 5. I made a mistake there. And then he comes and he also calls us his brothers in Hebrews 2, verse 11 to 12. So we can see there, Matthew 6, he says, Our Father. He says, we call him Father, and Jesus said to us that he's also our Father. Jesus called us friends. We are the bride of Christ, and we are his brethren. So when we look at those 4 points, we need to understand that God is a relational-orientated being. There is something inside him that is expressed just in normal fatherhood. You know, if I'm a father, I would like to have a relationship with my people. I would like them to know me. I would like them to have interaction with me, talk to me, touch me, feel me, handle me. That is the kind of thing that I would really want them to do. I would love for them to walk in a deep revelation of who I am. I look at my sons today. My oldest son is in university now, third year, studying. And I mean, my dream is that we would just be very good friends and that he would know my heart and I want to know his heart. And that is the kind of a being that God is. And I want to be good to him. I want to bless him. And by being good to him, I want him to see who I really am. For if he can see my goodness, if he can see my love, that would be the foundation from where there would be a strong relationship and from where he can have quality of life. And that is the same with God. He's a family-orientated being. So when we look at why God made us, we can also look at that from the perspective of family. And that is the next passage we're going to look at. And I want to look at Acts 17, verse 24. And you're going to see something here that's just going to blow your mind. Acts 17, 24 reads as follows. It says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made by hands, neither is he worshipped with man's hands, as though he needs anything, seeing he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And has made of one blood all nations of men, and I want you to concentrate on this now, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they may feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And I want to focus on verse 26 again. It says, and has made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Okay. So what he's saying is that God made man. Today we're talking about why God made man. He made man of one blood for to dwell on the face of the earth. Okay, that's one very important thing. He has made man to dwell on the face of the earth. That is one of the reasons. And he's determined the the times before and the bounds of their habitation. You know, the bounds of our habitation, we shouldn't think of villages in Africa somewhere and God says not further than this. The bounds of our habitation is this: physical people on the earth. We are not angels. We are not ghosts or anything. We've got a bound of habitation. The bound of our habitation is the earth, and we shall dwell upon the earth. That is where what we've been bound to dwell upon. And that is why Jesus was raised from the dead, got a physical body, and he will return to the earth. For this is the reason why God made us, and he's placed the times and the seasons and the bounds of our habitation. He has placed there for us. And this is the reason why he's put us upon the earth. So he made us to live on the earth, first one. Second thing is, so that as we live on this earth, we would have a natural desire for God. That's what it says, that we should seek the Lord. That means a natural inclination towards God. If happily they may feel after him. In other words, that we will have a seeking for the Lord, and then when he reveals himself, that who he is would bring joy to us when we feel him. Now I want to explain that. If we might happily feel after, that would feel there, I'm not going to bring it on the screen, but that would feel there means to strum the string of a harp. Isn't that beautiful? To strum the string of a harp and dance to the music. So what God was saying is that he has come and he has created a habitable world, a physical world, and he has given us this place to live in, and the habitation, the bounds of our habitation is the physical, wherein we will dwell, this earth, we will dwell here, and then he will, and we will have a desire for God. We will not see God, but we'll have a desire for him, in the hope that when he reveals himself, and we see him for who he truly is, that it would bring us joy when we feel him. That would feel also means to handle, to touch. And it was fulfilled for the first time when Jesus appeared, and this was also the same Greek meaning, the same Greek word, and basically the only place where it's mentioned is where Jesus said, "Touch me, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and blood. I am not a spirit. Touch me, handle me." That's that word. And the dream that God had was that man would come and that he would live upon this earth. And this earth was a decaying earth. Very important. It was a dying earth. We were created from the dust of the earth. That word dust means rubbish or ruin, which you will still look at. We were made out of that and we made alive. And he came and he said, "I will come and I will reveal myself to you. And when you know of this spirit God, that is a spirit that you cannot see, that you cannot touch, that you cannot handle, and when he comes into this world and he comes into the habitable world, into the bounds of our habitation, he will be able to be felt and touched and sensed in so many dimensions. And the hope would be that we would have great joy in handling and touching the immortal God that has incarnated our immortality, the immortal God that has incarnated our mortality and made it immortal so that we can share in his life." So, the reason why God made us is so that he could come and actually say, "I need someone to touch me. I want somebody to feel me," in the hope that when they see and feel me for who I really am and handle me, that it would bring great joy for them. And the only thing wherein they could really feel and touch me is if I can show them that I am like them, yet I've conquered their death. And if they can handle and touch an immortal being that is standing here as them, it is supposed to bring great joy to them, and so shall they experience this immortality and forever live with God. That for this purpose that he was raised Christ from the dead, so that we could co-inhabit as mortal beings being transformed into immortality and so share in his quality of life forever and ever and ever, and so dwell with God. Isn't that beautiful? So, in the last few minutes of this session, God made man to dwell upon the earth. He made man so that he could express his goodness towards man in coming and dwelling with man, so that man could touch and feel him. And as they touch and feel him in a physical body inside the habitation that God and the boundaries of the habitation that God has made for man, that man inside those boundaries can experience God and so see the goodness of God in man becoming immortal and receiving immortality in his physical body as humans. That is why God has made you, and that we can so share in the goodness of God. I want to just go to the first slide that we've had, and just read that quickly. Let's go to, it is in Ephesians 2:6. It says, "And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ," talking about a resurrection here. Why? "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus," which is what? Our resurrection. "For by grace are we saved from physical death and sin through simply believing, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God." The salvation is by simply believing, and this salvation is not of ourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should say he gave himself life. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto this resurrection and immortality, which God has before ordained that we should walk in it." Glory to God. Isn't that absolutely powerful? Now, I'm sure you've got so much information just by this first session that you can go and really think upon, ponder upon, and have your whole week impacted by the goodness of God. And go in this week and say to God, pray this prayer, say, "Lord, show me how important the physical resurrection is, and how the end goal is for you and me to walk together in the earth in immortality." And pray this as well and say, "Lord," I want you to jot this down. Go and pray and say, "Lord, show me what a wonderful gift eternal life is and what that is." And as you meditate upon these things, you will really enjoy it and God will touch your heart. So I want to ask you, if you've got any questions, please send it to our to the website we use for this Bible, for this discipleship program. And I will then, by Wednesday, next week Wednesday, we will have our live discussion, and then I will answer some of those questions for you. Thank you guys so much for watching this, and I trust this has impacted your life. See you then this coming Wednesday. God bless.